Hello and welcome to a special episode of Stuff We've Seen. This is Jim. From time to time, Teal and I cannot get together to tape a regular episode, so we thought we would offer you a bonus. This is another adventure in 70mm with Jim. This is called The Way Things Used to Be. The movie, Lawrence of Arabia, the 1989 restoration. The format, of course, is 70mm and 6-track Dolby. The aspect ratio is 2.20:1. And the theater was the Cineplex Odeon Century City Plaza in Los Angeles. It's no longer there. And the date was February 19th, 1989, the 1:30 afternoon show. I first saw Lawrence of Arabia on television. The mighty small screen of tube televisions before HDTVs. How they ruined even the smallest of epics with their squashed pan and scan 1.33:1 aspect ratios. Not only were 2/3 of the picture information of the film missing, the image was blown up to the point of viewing grainy, washed-out, color-faded memories. I couldn't tell the difference between Peter O'Toole's face and the desert. I'm not even sure what prints were used to do these transfers, but they were horrible and showcased none of the craftsmanship of their film cinematographers. No wonder so many kids grew up with little to no appreciation for many of the classics of cinema. VHS tape made movies more available to the masses, but they were no artistic saviors to the film movement. For Lawrence of Arabia, matters were even worse. For decades, the film audiences saw upon original release was not the film playing on TV, video, or anywhere else for that matter. In the 60s, epic-length films were frequently cut down after their initial roadshow releases to appease local theater owners who were wanting to squeeze in additional showings. Lawrence of Arabia was trimmed several times over the years, which cut the running time down anywhere from 20 up to 40 minutes from the original 222-minute running time. I do not know what version I first saw, as a 15-year-old on a small color TV in my parents' basement, but what I did see held little appeal. I found the film boring. I fast-forwarded much of the movie. Epic films are for seeing on the big screen. When I saw these movies in the theater, I loved them. When seeing them on television, I could not pay full attention. In January of 1989, I read about a new restoration of Lawrence of Arabia that was coming out. In the article, I learned of Lawrence of Arabia's fate over the years since its December 1962 release. Lawrence of Arabia was filmed on 70mm stock, and the negative had deteriorated over the years. It had not dawned on me a film's original negative could vanish. I knew a majority of silent films were lost forever, but I thought a film 27 years old would be okay. Not all films released in 70mm are shot in 70mm, and the majority of 70mm films I had seen to this point were just blow-up prints from 35mm film negatives. But after reading about Lawrence's restoration, I knew I had to see it. Unless USC, which is the college I was attending at the time, did a special screening on campus, my best shot of seeing Lawrence of Arabia was my roommate, Darren. Darren and I saw the trailer for the restoration, but Darren wasn't interested in seeing the film. I had to figure out a different plan if I was going to get to see it. At the end of 1980, my dad's twin brother, my Uncle Phil, moved from Massachusetts to Southern California. Both my father's sister Diane and my dad's mother, my grandmother, had moved to Southern California a few years before. One day, Uncle Phil called me to catch up and tell me about the new restoration of Lawrence of Arabia that he was all excited about. Since I loved movies, my uncle wanted to know if maybe I would be interested in seeing it with him. Uncle Phil thought he'd have to sell me on the idea. Ha! I couldn't believe my luck. Here I was, trying to figure out how I was going to see Lawrence of Arabia on the big screen, and an invitation had landed in my lap. I'm dying to see it! Absolutely! I said, much to my uncle's delight. The restoration opened Wednesday, February 15th, at one theater in Century City, and my uncle planned to take me that weekend. So my uncle picked me up Sunday morning, and we headed over to Century City. We planned to get tickets, have lunch, then go back to the theater, and plenty of time to grab seats before the show started. Century City is a business district adjacent to Beverly Hills. It was the home to Fox Studios offices, which was the building used as the Nakatomi Plaza in Die Hard. I knew this because Darren drove by the building whenever we were in the area. Parking in Century City was solved by way of paid parking or creative thinking. My uncle was more of the creative thinking guy, and he headed off to Santa Monica Boulevard to some residential streets overlooking Century City. Phil parked his car, and I had a difficult time with the passenger door lock, which required me to hold the door handle in a certain way to lock it. My uncle was under the impression Lawrence of Arabia started at 12:30, so when we arrived at the theater, it was closed. The box office didn't even open until 12:30, and we had to leave and come back. So we walked over to the nearby Century City Shopping Center to kill some time. The stores there were also closed, but over lunch, my uncle told me stories of seeing Lawrence of Arabia as a kid and how he loved to see movies such as Ben-Hur and the Ten Commandments on the big screen. I was excited. Lawrence of Arabia was showing in its original roadshow format, complete with an intermission. So when the box office finally opened, we got our tickets, and there was still an hour to go before the movie started, but we went in early to pick the best seats. The Century Plaza Cinema was once a two-screen movie house featuring a 1,400-seat and an 800-seat auditorium. The main house was torn down and converted into three additional screens. All that remained for Gravitas was the 800-seat, but that was still a nice-sized auditorium. In the mid-80s, the Century City Plaza had installed the first HPS 4000 four-way speaker system in the world, which provided immense concert hall sound quality. The HPS 4000 survived in one of the new auditoriums, and the 800-seat auditorium featured a new THX-approved Dolby system. The main auditorium of the Century Plaza was a late 60s, early 70s design. Gone were the beautiful ceilings and grand balconies of movie palaces past, but this theater was spacious, and the screen was massive. The seats were plush red velvet. I had experienced a couple of theaters this vast, the Charles in Boston and the Cinerama Dome in downtown Los Angeles, and this seemed to be the perfect place to see Lawrence of Arabia. The theater began to fill with an audience my uncle's age and up. People were dressed less casually than I typically saw at a film matinee. This was a big event. For one afternoon, I was to be transported to a time when movies were still larger than life. When movies were shot in 70mm to project a film so clear and sharp, no television screen could match it. And in a time when mono sound was standard, 70mm films offered six tracks of stereo. At 1:30 p.m., the auditorium was filled. There was a buzz of excitement from all in attendance. Some were there to re-experience the movie magic of their youth. Others were there to see what the fuss was all about. With the curtains still closed, the overture of Maurice Jarre's score for Lawrence of Arabia could be heard coming from the speakers. The sound was vibrant and clear. I could have sworn there was a live orchestra behind the curtains. This was the first time I experienced the grandeur of a roadshow film performance. I was not previously aware the opening 5 minutes of such epics would play an overture of the film score before the curtains opened up. This set the mood and built up the anticipation. As the curtains began to open over the opening credits, I sunk back into my seat and prepared myself to be dazzled. And dazzled I was. From the first frame till the last, this film was nothing I had seen before, and few films have come close to matching this experience since. The color saturation was shocking. The image clarity was unreal. If I thought I had seen it all in 70mm before, Lawrence was showing me something new. Gone were the squashed and fuzzy images I remembered from my television set. I saw it projected in the format it was originally shot on and was meant to be seen. When Lawrence's goggles sway in the tree branch after his motorcycle crash at the opening of the film, I could see every detail of those goggles. For the next 3.5 hours, I watched a grand adventure unfold. At the age of 18, I was not able to appreciate all of the historical intricacies of the story, but I understood enough to enjoy it. Even if I had not followed a single piece of plot, the images and sweeping scope of the movie would have been sufficient to keep me entertained. The early scenes in the desert are some of the most beautiful images I have ever seen in a film. Although some of the restored elements containing color fading and dub dialogue to restore scenes missing soundtrack elements, I respected the level of love and commitment restoration expert Robert A. Harris and his team employed to restore this film as close to the way it looked in 1962. During the intermission, I felt as though I were floating on a cloud. I got it now. I understood. This was the way movies used to be. There was a time when the movie-going experience meant something. Seeing this film projected in 70mm allowed me to appreciate the craftsmanship in a way I dared not think possible. Lawrence of Arabia is a film masterpiece, and I knew it the second the lights came up at the end of the film. The crowd gave a thunderous applause, and I was dumbstruck. What had I just witnessed? Could going to a movie ever get as good as this again? My uncle and I returned to his car several hours later. My uncle got into the driver's side, and as I waited for him to unlock my door, I pressed the handle, and it opened. My uncle was perplexed. He had not yet unlocked my door. Well, it was clear that I had not closed the door properly that morning, and I left my uncle's car unlocked the whole time. As we drove off, I felt a little bit guilty. What if my uncle's car had been stolen because of me? Then I realized, if it had, how would he have known it was because my door was unlocked? He wouldn't. 13 years later, I saw Lawrence of Arabia again on the big screen, but this time it was a 35mm print. While I still enjoyed seeing Lawrence of Arabia again, the 35mm image was grainier and more faded than the spectacular 70mm print I saw that February afternoon.